WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg usually explores how words are used in our everyday lives, in conversation, books, advertisements, and film. But recently he saw an exhibit that made him think about how words are used in contemporary art.
Modern art has been involved with language for a long time. In the 20s, the constructivist and futurist were fascinated by words and letters as purely typographical shapes, while at the same time, the Dadaist and Surrealist were using language to chew over the paradoxes of pictorial representation itself. But in the 60s, artists began to use language in a different way, to transform the text and voices of everyday life. Now a sample of this work is surveyed in a show called Language and Art Since 1960, which opened recently at the new downtown branch of the Whitney Museum in New York. It's an interesting point of view from which to consider where art has been going over the last three decades. But it's also a show about our perceptions of language itself and how artists can reveal it to us. In a way, the pop artist took everything as a kind of language, whether it was the words in a comic strip balloon in a Roy Lichtenstein painting, or one of Andy Warhol's stereotyped images of Marilyn Monroe. Warhol is represented in this show by a 1968 print series called Flash, November 22, 1963. The prints juxtapose blow-ups of wire service bulletins about President Kennedy's assassination with luridly colored newspaper photographs of the event. By wrenching the text and images from their original context, Warhol turns them into talismanic objects and documents the way the popular culture transforms history into myth and historical figures into icons. The result is a surprisingly powerful work, which reminds you that the early Warhol was much more of a social critic than his cool and detached public presentation would have suggested. Hans Hacke is another artist who transforms pre-existing text to produce social commentary. Hacke's work in this show starts with the text of a smarmy newspaper ad from Tiffany & Company, which celebrates millionaires as the providers of employment and social good. He has the text engraved on a large silver-plated plaque, then set in a velvet gift box, on the cover of which is stamped, in the elaborate gold lettering of a formal invitation, "The 9,200,000 unemployed in the United States of America demand the immediate creation of more millionaires." It's not a very subtle joke, but it is an effective one. Hacke translates the abstract vulgarity of the original text into the physical setting of the plaque in the box, as if to give the message the medium it deserves. The transformation trick is worked in still another way by Jenny Holzer. Holzer's piece in this show is one of those electronic signs that you ordinarily see in airports and public spaces, flashing commercial messages to distracted passers-by. But Holzer's texts are elusive personal messages, like, "In a dream you saw a way to survive," or, "If you had behaved nicely, the communists wouldn't exist." It's like finding a love letter in an envelope addressed to occupant. It brings you up short, as you suddenly have to regard this most banal and impersonal of media with the attentiveness you'd ordinarily reserve for an intimate encounter. Looking at these works, you begin to see what artists can do with language that writers can't. A poem is an abstract content, which stays the same whatever page it's printed on and whatever room it's read in. Whereas artists like these create a kind of poetry of context where the meaning is created by the setting of the text. It's a reminder of something we sometimes overlook, that language is part of the physical world.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California. Language in Art Since 1960 is on view at the downtown branch of the Whitney Museum in New York through September 23rd.